We'll move on to item number five, discussion and possible action on the report from our technical consultant, Ryan, with HAF.
Yeah, thanks everyone. You can go to the next slide. So this can be a short meeting unless we want to camp out on any of these items, but we are brief general update on what's going on. Task 2A, hopefully finishing that up. And then task 4A, we pulled in all these FMXs. Want to give you an overview of all the FMXs we pulled in. And then we have some, probably a little bit more discussion on task 4C and 5B. I just want to get some initial feedback from y'all on. So this is all what we'll be covering today. So schedule update, you can see we're here in October. Next meeting will be,
are you sharing your?
Those are not available online.
Can y'all see the slideshow?
No, that's, yeah.
Cancel elements share capability.
Bear with us. We're
one moment. James. See if I can share it from my computer as well. See if I can open first.
We're changing up the share computer, so give us a second.
One moment, please. All right.
Just raise your hand if you start to see the share so we know that it's working. It's working on our end, so we see everything fine. Okay, there we got it.
Are we here?
Next one.
Next one.
Schedule. One more.
One more there.
Right there.
Okay.
There you go. That's your grabbing bag.
I'm grabbing bag. Let me know where you want.
All right. Slide. So this is the we're at in the schedule, October. Finishing up task 2A, which is the existing flood risk. And then we just got the, we jumped down to task 4A. We stopped receiving new FMXs, and I'll provide an update on that. Upcoming over the next meeting would be 3B and 3C, providing those results, which is the needs analysis and regional goals. And then tech memo, we'll have a draft tech memo next month, excluding any type of future flood risk information. But again, we're trying to get the tech memo. Our key milestone is get the tech memo to the development board in early January. So trying to get that approved by y'all in December before the holidays. So the next slide. A quick general update. We are working on tasks 2B, 3B, and 3C all simultaneously. They're all dependent on this task 2A, which is the existing flood quilt. We have pending any changes from a meeting today. If there aren't any changes, then we'll just continue finishing up all those analysis. So that's what we're heavily focused on right now. And then we have the technical memo coming up. We did get information from the development board on required, a checklist that shows required information on that memo. And we're just working on completing that memo as we speak. Next. And then again. So I did want to, we had a lot of discussion on the existing conditions flood risk or the flood quilt. You can go to the next slide. That's available up on the website. Go to resources, flood risk map, and you can open the flood risk map. We did update the urban areas to include the Fathom information in the urban areas. We did add the toggleable options and then that source data layer. We did have a little bit of hiccup on Friday getting that up, but we did get those finally fixed on Tuesday. So if you haven't looked at it since Tuesday, I'd recommend you go up there and look at those. So now you can toggle on and off the 10, 100, 500 year, and you can toggle on and off the source data layer that kind of shows you what data we're using where for this flood quilt.
Very nice.
I did add two slides yesterday. If you can go to the next slide, this is one of them. We did realize that we are using the general land office models for Brazoria County. And we use, they have different types of analysis. And the one that we initially added into our flood quilt was the coastal model. And that incorporates storm surge statistics and all that kind of stuff. However, on the upper portion of the Brazoria County, we realized that it probably wasn't representing riverine risk very well up there. So what we did is we did a combination of two different types of GLO models. We did the coastal model and then the riverine model and then added them as a max on max. That's not what's currently in the flood quilt. We are going in and adding that in. It doesn't really, we don't need approval on this or anything since we already approved using GLO here in the past. We're just using two different data sets now instead of a single one to really get a better picture of the Brazos River on the upper portion of Brazoria County. And so you can see the blue is the existing flood quilt, yellow is going to be the revised flood quilt. So we're going to fill in some of these gaps here that have flood risk that's not currently being shown. So go to the next slide. The other one that might need a little bit of discussion is in the Fort Bend County. And maybe even up in, I don't know if that's Waller County or Austin County, but you can see the area that I have highlighted here. We have some issues with this. We were originally going to use 2D VLE here. However, we didn't really get the model until recently, so we were still digging into this model, and we found more issues with this model. We realized that the modeling that's being used is actually applying a rainfall reduction of like half. So it's reducing the rainfall by 50% for some reason. We weren't able to determine why. So for this HUC area, or for this area highlighted, we're just gonna strip out BLE and we're gonna use a combination of GLO and Fathom, which is not really inconsistent with any type of anything that we voted on in the past. We just think that the GLO and the fluvial, sorry, the GLO and the Fathom combined are gonna be better than the 2D BLE. So we're proposing to do that. If there's any objections to that, let me know and we can discuss it. So that's, we'll just go ahead and proceed with that. And I just open up the questions if there's any questions or comments on the flood quilt or these two minor changes that we're gonna be making.
Alicia.
Just quick question, Ryan. When I click on some of these, it's labeled as pluvial TWDB cursory. What does the cursory mean?
That's the official definition of Fathom. That's what the TWDB uses for Fathom. Fathom is a company. They would like to call it the cursory data. So,
got it. Thank you. I guess let's just make sure all our other written data then says that, because we have Fathom all over everything.
Yeah. Right? On the tech memo, we'll use the official terminology.
Any other questions for Ryan?
Glad to finally wrap this section up. I know we've had a lot of discussion on it. It's been good discussion. So, and I'm pretty happy with the flood quilt now. So, okay. So we'll go on to the next. And Jenna.
Yes. So we wanted to give you an update of the FMX requests we've received so far. Our deadline was September 26th, so this is anything people would like to incorporate into the 2028 regional flood plan. I did want to preface this by saying this overview is the FMXs as we've received them. So our team will be looking at the supporting data and models to see if they align with RFPG and TWDB criteria. So as we vet them, these might change some. If they aren't actually FMPs, we might reclassify them, or if they don't meet the regional criteria, they might drop off the list. But this is as we've received them so far. So We've received submittals from 22 communities throughout the region, and you'll see that they're kind of pocketed around where we did some of our public outreach for our public roadshow, as well as some other areas we've targeted with outreach beyond that. And from those 22 communities, we've received 91 submittals, 70 of those are FMPs or projects, which is to be expected. During our amendment, when we received submittals, we did not receive projects because it takes a lot to process those and we didn't have the time. So a lot of communities are coming back and submitting those projects now. So that's why it's FMP heavy. We've also received 12 edit requests of items that are already on the list. So this is changes to costs, descriptions, or other minor items to better align them with current entity goals and knowledge. So we're making those edits as well as we go. They aren't major, they're already recommended items, but it's just making sure they still align with community goals. So the next couple of slides kind of provide an overview of who has submitted and what they've submitted.
Can you go back to that?
Sorry.
Go back to that one. Mm-hmm. Do you have those 91 submittals mapped? So I'm curious where they're.
So they're clustered around these entities that submitted them. We don't have the actual areas of the 91 submittals mapped. That'll be as part of our vetting. We'll just discern what the actual exact area is of each item, but they'll be clustered around these submitting entities. And as you'll see on the next couple of slides, there are a few entities who submitted a lot of these FMXs. So you'll have a heavy cluster over here and then maybe only one or two elsewhere.
That's what I was thinking.
So this slide gives an overview of most of the cities who have submitted FMXs. Again, as you see, most of them are FMPs. And you'll see that a few cities have submitted quite a few FMPs, and these are the ones that we're really corresponding with these entities to make sure all of these projects meet the goals of regional flood planning, and that they aren't either too small or just not flood risk mitigation. So as we communicate with these communities and get their supporting models and data, there's the chance that we might consolidate some of these or move them to FMEs if they don't have the appropriate supporting modeling data, or completely remove them from the list if we determine that they aren't really regional projects. And then the following slide shows most of the counties and other entities who have submitted requests. So over the next month, we'll do kind of this initial vetting of what might actually be included in the 2028 regional flood plan. And we can bring next month, we can bring a more detailed list back of what each of these items is, a name, a description, to give y'all a better understanding of what's been submitted. We won't be looking for y'all to vote on actually recommending these items until after we submit the tech memo to the Texas Water Development Board and get approval on that. So recommendation is still a little ways out. We don't need to decide if we support each one of these items yet. We just need to see what we have collected so far. What are people's interests? We're just listing those out for now. And then early next year, we'll really delve into them and see, do they meet our criteria and do we want to recommend them for inclusion in the plan? That's all we have for today, unless there's any questions.
I have a quick one. So these FMXs won't be submitted with a technical memo?
They will be submitted as a list of here's what people are interested in. They are not being recommended by the group yet. So these this doesn't make them eligible for funding. This doesn't mean that they will be eligible for funding. It just is saying here's what we've received from communities.
If they're called potentially feasible FMXs.
Okay.
So.
Sujeet, go ahead. Sujeet, you got your hand up?
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. I wanted to see if all of these requests can they be put on our website, because this may be something other folks can start looking into. If they need to submit for a request, what they need to do, the format and so on and so forth. Is it appropriate?
He's saying, could we use some of these as an example for others?
So G3 have the list of current FMXs up on the website that people can reference, and we've pointed people to that list just so they can get an idea of what type of FMXs are. So there is already a list of approved FMXs up there.
No, I'm specifically looking at the projects some of these entities have put in, like a description or something. I know you all want to be putting in subsequently, but anything they sent on the request, their raw request right there. That's what I'm trying to see.
I'd have to think about that. I can certainly send you a list. We're going to send you this full list to all the group members. It's just they're not going to be fully vetted. So I'm cautious of publishing all this information if it's not vetted yet. And that's going to be something we do during Task 5 next year. But you're certainly going to see the list of potentially feasible. You're going to see all this within the tech memo itself, though. And I guess, do we publish that online?
We do publish that.
So we will have that for comment, public comment with the tech memo. Would that suffice?
See, I don't want you all to, I know first you got to do the screening. I think I'll wait for your submission and see what it is. Thank you.
Okay. Alicia, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, just wanted to piggyback off of Sujith real quick. Sujith, I think, remember, one of the things we did is we made a really low bar for people to submit. So they really didn't always come in an organized package. It was like, just make a request to Ryan and Jenna. And it was kind of a cobble of stuff. So it's not like we have this neat package that we can necessarily even present in a draft form. So that's part of it. And then you guys hinted at it, but I just want to reiterate, these are new requests on top of things that are already in the plan. And so all those things that were previously in the plan, this is another 90-ish, right? I don't remember what's in the plan currently.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how much is in the current.
350 or so, I think, total. That's before this 90.
Yeah, we're more FMP heavy than ever, so that's good. Last cycle, we were really begging for FMPs and we weren't getting any, but we got a lot in now, so that's good.
Any other questions for Ryan or our consultant? I don't see any. Thank you very much, Ryan.
We've got one more task.
Okay.
So sorry. So I wanted to bring this back up because we need to start making some decisions on both tasks 4C and 5B. I've talked about it in passing before, but I want to get a little bit more into it now, especially since we have time to talk about it. This is a chance for the group and the Texas Water Development Board to take some of the FMEs or these studies evaluations and actually allocating resources to completing them. So the reason why I'm presenting these two together, because they really work hand in hand. They're both accomplishing the same thing, but with different buckets of money and different goals. So Task 4C is really RFPG centered. So this is, y'all have $630,000 we do as a technical consultant to perform FMEs. This can be completing master drainage plans, completing feasibility studies for smaller projects or even regional projects, or preliminary engineering. And the primary intent of this is to take an FME and create FMPs out of it. A secondary benefit is to update mapping or give better flood risk information for communities. But the primary objective is to develop more FMPs to get pushed back into the flood plan.
Because the mapping's coming from other agencies. A lot of mapping.
Yes. I mean, so that's been specifically pushed by the development board, both on Task 4C, 5B. The main goal is to develop projects. Secondary is mapping, if we want to do that. So if you decide we want to do master drainage plans for a city, we could do that master drainage plan with this money, create FMPs out of it, and put that back into the flood plan and to this current flood plan as an example. So y'all have $630,000 to do that. The development board has roughly $3.9 million per region to perform FMEs, so quite a bit more. their focus is on rural or underserved communities. So that's why I kind of want to bring these two together. If they're going to focus on rural and underserved communities, then maybe our group should focus on more urban areas. So that's kind of why I'm bringing these two together. And my recommendation would be just that, but we can talk about that in the next slide. But
can you explain the 630 versus the 3.9 million?
The 630 is the money that y'all have currently
for just for this region 8.
Region 8.
And the 3.9
is also for our region. Region 8.
That 3.9 is spread over 5 years, though. It will not all be used in
this year.
Right. Okay. Like we will use all of our 630 in this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So the 630,000, we have to spend all that within a year. And so we need to be strategic on which type of FMEs we want to perform. You don't want to try to tackle FMEs that are going to take multiple years. But the task 5B, that's a little bit different. They have 5 years to spend this money. They've already selected consultants. So they've selected consultants to perform this. A little bit of a difference, though, is they do want two FMEs to be completed within a year. And then the rest will be completed after the regional flood plan. So there's two FMEs that we would select, say, okay, development board, y'all go complete these two FMEs so that we can roll that back into the flood plan. But then after that, they work on the other FMPs that will get rolled into the next flood plan after this cycle.
Suji?
Yes, sir. Ryan, you know, when you mentioned about the, you know, that TWDB is going to be looking at the rural areas, and I think, you know, And your recommendation, the urban right there, I kind of disagree because urban areas do have a lot of studies and everything well laid out. And I think, you know, we can be doing the studies for a long time. But I think, you know, if I had to put my thoughts, I would probably want to see an FMP on any of those rural or underserved areas where that could be implemented. Because, you know, we could be studying this, updating the plan for perpetuity. But the thing is, we got to have some sort of a benefits, which I think, you know, threat reduction, whether urban or rural, it doesn't matter. But I foresee that I think, you know, we need to piggyback on what TWDB is doing, because the budget of 630 for urban areas is not going to meet any requirements right there. But, you know, that's my thought.
Yeah, I can go to the next slide and we can talk about that a little bit more. I thought I had a different slide. Maybe didn't I have another slide?
You have the rural slide next.
Oh yeah, let's go to the well. Okay, so that does. I mean, that makes sense. If y'all, I mean, $630,000 doesn't really go that far for urban areas. That's true, unless we pick a few smaller ones. I could see maybe doing one or two smaller master drainage plans. But that's up to y'all to decide that. And I don't really have a preference. And that also may depend on how y'all define rural. And after this slide, I'll kind of talk about that. But if y'all want to go a completely different direction, that's fine too. But this is kind of what I laid out, my recommendation, and we can talk about it. But my recommendation is to, we have 200 FME, or currently have 200 FMEs, right?
Yes.
We have 200 FMEs. And we could go in and classify them as rural or not. If it is rural, then those are the Texas Water Development Board FMEs. We would then go in, rank them from task 3B, and then do a filtering. And we can filter it basically on a host of different things that y'all want to do. I have that box in the middle called filter options. We could filter it to where we only focus on certain types of FMEs. So if you wanted the development board to only do master drainage plans for rural areas, then we could filter that and only focus on those. We could focus on, you know, the size of the FME. If it's a really big FME, maybe focus on those. Another idea was focusing on FMEs that are in areas of projected growth, high projected growth. We would go in and perform FMEs that would help create mapping products in these areas where there's future growth that would help prevent future flooding. We could, you know, only do an FME one per sponsor. So a sponsor doesn't get three FMEs. We would just do one per sponsor. Or we could filter out any FMEs that are ranked high on the current FIF application list. All these communities have submitted FIFs
FIP applications for their FMEs. And if they're on that list and ranked high, we might want to exclude those, or we don't have to, either way. So there's just kind of some like brainstorming ideas of how to hone in on which FMEs we want to perform. Again, Task 3B will be used to rank it, but then we need to decide which one on that ranking list do we want to complete. And that applies both to also the RFPG FME. So if it's not classified as rural, my recommendation would be we would do everything else that's not classified as rural, and then we would rank it, filter it, and then we would select which ones you want to complete there. Because we don't have as big of a budget, won't be as big of a challenge for us to do that. We'll probably just pick up a few of the top ones, so we may not need to do a filtering list. So this is kind of like how I'm seeing this. We have two different scoring metrics based off of whether it's rural or not, and then go from there.
Alicia, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I want to throw two other concepts out, maybe go in Ryan's filter box. One is the number of projects that were downgraded, right? Either that are about to be downgraded or we downgraded last plan. People who wanted to be projects that we had to downgrade because they didn't have enough information, right? Like those to me should almost have priority. And then the reality is the reason everybody's trying to get more projects is we're trying to get more things done in the field. And one of the things that we need to consider, especially on our tinies in this five-year plan that Water Development Board has, is how many of those people are likely to actually then take that project and apply to get funding and follow through, right? Because they're not going to get 100% funding usually. So they got to have some skin in the game. And so at least on some of these, as we get down to the priority of who do we do first, if we've got some littles that have some money set aside and they could put in for a grant and then fund their project, those may be the people we want to get done in those first 2 years. And then if we have some littles that don't necessarily have some money set aside, they could be year three or four. So I think I want to make sure we also consider what does the entity have as far as timing and interest in moving the project forward? And then, like I said, who got downgraded, who maybe is just missing data, and whether they're rural or urban, I don't know that I care on that, but just some other things to consider.
Yeah.
You know, I want to add on Alicia, she was speaking on the filter box, but I heard you say earlier, are we as a group supposed to define rural?
Yes. And I'll get back into that in the next slide. Okay. I was going to say something. One of the things that we have to do for the development board ones is we actually have to have a community come in and do an agreement that we want the development board to perform this FME. I don't remember what other requirements there are in there, if you recall.
It just says that they agree with what the Water Development Board is doing and they are willing to stay in correspondence with them and check in with them regularly. There's no financial obligation, just a we won't ghost you.
I assume we could probably do something similar with RFPG FMEs as well.
Yeah, we could.
A certification or something. So let's go to the next slide. I'll talk about this rural definition because that's highly subjective and the development board has left it up to y'all to decide on what that is. So we're going to have to make a decision there. I thought about this a lot and you can really overthink it. And it may be futile to overthink it. You're really just trying, what you're ultimately trying to do, according to my framework, is figure out which FMEs go to development board and which FMEs go to y'all. Since there's a bigger budget that development board has, we may want to try to send more FME options to them. And that really kind of just relies on this rural, non-rural demarcation. So one of where I started out with is the Texas Water Development Board 2024 intended flood use plan definition. And they've defined rural municipality in this definition they provided. A rural municipality is any city or municipality with a population of 10,000 or less, or any municipality located in a rural county, which is a county that has no urban area greater than 50,000. So based off of that classification there, on the top right, those are our non-rural versus rural cities. So we have 27 non-rural cities and then 166 rural cities. So where this breaks is that City of Navasota would be considered a rural city and the City of Bellmead would be considered an urban city. So that kind of gives you an idea, if you know those two cities, how that classification plays out there. So this puts a lot of communities in the rural areas. But again, it's kind of you have to think about population. You know, there's a lot more population in the 27 non-rural cities, like Georgetown, Chittagong Station, Waco, that kind of stuff. And they have a lot of needs. They have a lot of FMEs, all of those larger cities. And then on the county side, we have 8 non-rural counties and then 35 rural counties based off this definition. And so where this breaks is at Johnson County being urban and Erath County being rural. So any thoughts on this? I suppose we could try to shift this definition to try to pull more rural cities in or put more urban cities in. I don't know.
Brian, real quick, what's the data set y'all are using for population? We're not using like the last census, right? Are you using some kind of annual thing produced by the state, or
what did we use?
The last census.
Yeah, that's really old.
Yeah, I'd have to look. We have the
we have either data.
I don't know if there's another source, Christina, if you're familiar with another source, or somebody does more of an annual, even if it's an approximation.
We have an approximation. I'd have to go back and look, Alicia. We do have something other than census that we have in task one. We use two different data sets. I'll have to go back and look. It's like the something that the Commerce Department put out. I'd have to go back with our task one team, our planners there, and see what we have. We don't need a different data set.
I got a couple of questions. Russell.
Yeah, I was just asking, kind of similar to what Alicia said, is when was this population data collected, and are we taking into account some of the rapid growth that these cities and counties are experiencing, and when would that population potentially be updated? So with the quick fluctuation of people moving into these rural areas, you know, that could be a number that's changing very rapidly.
Well, we'll go back and look for sure and see if we can use a better estimate than the 2020 census.
Christina.
Yeah, so I will forward on. It's going to take me a little bit longer to try to find it than on the fly, but I know like we have to turn in our numbers annually, and then it's about a year and a half lag as far as most current numbers, and those are the ones that we're required to go by as a city. And so I'll forward that link on over to you.
Where are you sending that data to?
My emails say to send it to Patricia and the chair.
It's probably
Pamela. Oh my god. Sorry. It's one of those mornings.
So if he's in BAM, she forwards everything to me. So
okay.
That'd be good. I think we pulled the best available population data. It just wasn't as clear cut. Like, I think we had an issue with, like, we didn't have annual data for cities. We had it broken down differently than that. And we had to, like, kind of work with the data to get it to fit against the cities. So it's just not as straightforward. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant to say what we would use in lieu of the census. But I think I'll have to go back and look at it.
Alicia.
So Anthony, I want to put you a little bit back on the spot of like when we talked about breaking large city and small city, we kind of talked as a group and ended up at 25,000.
That's correct.
Which there's lots of reasons how you can get there. And, you know, you could say, well, that would deal with the, like Russell was saying, the rapid growth. I feel like these should align. But as a small city guy, I definitely want to hear your feedback on the number.
I'll have to think about that. I'm not sure. What clouds it is when you consider let's say you're at 26 or 27. And what he's got laid out right now. Let's just suppose you're at 11,000 population, but the county is very low urban. Very low urban. So now you're kind of trying to balance those two at the same time. Uh, I I'm not sure. I don't know if it should be a hard line at 25,000. Sujeet.
Thank you. You know, we talk about the population, which is human, but also I think, you know, we have a pretty big livestock right there in the Brazos right there. So that's going to be interesting right there, because I understand the devastation for human lives, but also livestock that has a profound impact on the economy right there. So I think if it is a smaller, I think I'm good with the recommendations. Or Ryan, if you can come up half of the municipal population of maybe 5,000 to see how many of them, because those are really underserved communities right there. Not necessarily, I think, you know, the definition right there. So I just want to see how many municipalities are less than 5,000, because they probably don't have the resources what it is. And that's probably the intention of the ledge trying to do something.
Building on that, Sujeet, you're exactly right. Those smaller communities like what I'm representing don't have the funds to address any of these items. So that's, I don't know if they get a little extra credit for that or not, but
I can spread.
I totally get Alicia's point is, why are we setting a standard A here and then a different standard over here? Which is a little odd.
And we can move it. You know, that's why I bring it up. You know, as part of, like, we're talking about the bylaws, like, if y'all decide you're more comfortable with the 10,000 number, then we could, if you want them to align and you're comfortable with that, the two municipal reps, we could move that line. I just think it's weird to make that designation and then use a different one. I do like, if we could use Water Development Board or something that would be more consistent across the way.
Alicia picked it. I think Texas Water Development Board had already established 25,000.
We'll blame it on Tressa.
Yeah. but you're right. I think there needs to be some more discussion on that.
I mean, they're serving two different purposes, I guess. One is trying to demarcate which ones y'all represent as a group, a group member represents. This is just trying to identify a split of what goes to the development board, what goes to the RFPGs.
Are you needed an answer on this?
No, we don't need an answer. This is just for this conversation to get the wheels turning and for us to go back and maybe look at some other ideas or whatever. Looking at 5,000, we can certainly look at 5,000. The other thing about, which is really odd about this, is that if you get really small, so if you have a community of 5,000, you start getting under that 1 square mile threshold. And that starts getting kind of weird, because we don't want to start recommending FMEs that are really small. You know, some of these really small communities I could think of, like City
Mark Calvert or
Marlin. You know, are we really going to be recommending FMEs in those smaller cities? And we need to kind of think about that, too, when we're making this designation. And then, CJ, go ahead.
Ryan, I understand that 1 square mile, I think that's where you're going to differentiate. You know, if it is spread over more than 1 square mile, that's a municipality you need to look if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a filter. It's something, one of the filters you had recommended. You know, if like the city of Marlin, or I guess city of Calvert's near Brazos River, I don't know, maybe there's a bigger, more regional project there. I don't know. We'll be considering that. But I just want to say, like, once you start getting a really small population, you start running into that issue of this 1 square mile rule. The other thing I wanted to mention on this, or I thought about this or here, a population of 10,000 less or in a county or in a rural county. The reason that's there, and I think it's smart, is I was thinking like cities and say Fort Bend County and other really developed counties have, in like, this is just, you know, Fort Bend County Drainage District provides a lot of infrastructure and drainage infrastructure, flood infrastructure, all that kind of stuff that these smaller communities kind of tap into or benefit from. So that's kind of where that's going. So if you have a really small community in a really highly populated county, well, that county usually has more resources to dedicate to flood mitigation. So that's kind of why that or is there. So just curious if y'all had any thoughts on that. Mark, if you agree with that or not, not to put you on the spot, but so.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So there's nothing that we need, y'all need to vote on. This is just to get feedback from y'all. And if y'all come up with ideas or thoughts, feel free to email me and or email Pam. She can forward it to me. And we can, if we could potentially, I guess, bring it back next month, depending on how heavy that is. We don't need to make a decision. I guess we need to make a decision in March.
Before March. We need to submit to the TWDB in March on what they're going to perform.
Yeah, this won't be in the memo. We're just trying to get a head start. So when we're done completing the memo, we're like right into this and ready to get rolling, because we have to get rolling pretty heavily next year. So just things to chew on, think about, and we'll bring it back up again probably sometime before the end of the year so we can, you know, start finalizing some of this. So. I already kind of talked about this. We don't need to belabor the point and then go forward to the next slide. So this is our tentative plan for next meeting, November. That's November 20th, I think. We are going to provide the results of the exposure analysis. So the flood quote that we developed, we go and run statistics on how many structures are in the floodplain, how many critical facilities are in the floodplain. We'll provide those results. We'll bring forth the future conditions flood flow two that Nick is finishing up, and then the needs analysis results and the goals results. So we have a lot in November, but we have to get all this stuff kind of wrapped. Some of this stuff was just kind of waiting and pending for this flood quilt to get done. So now we're wrapping all this stuff up to get it in the draft memo. So our team's going to be really busy. So just kind of plan for a little bit longer meeting in November, if y'all wouldn't mind, so that we can knock all this stuff out. And then just in December, we'll just finalize the tech memo and probably bring up this task force C and 5B discussion again, if we have time.
Has the date been set for December yet?
Yes, it's going to be the third Thursday. I think it's the 18th. Does anyone have their calendar up?
Yes. So Alicia's saying, yeah, that's it. So December the 18th is what we're looking at. So we'll be able to get a quorum then.
Alicia, is it possible to move the November meeting to December, because it's a week before Thanksgiving and also they got a lot on their plate? So we can get most of it done. That's a thought.
I need y'all to give me some comments on the draft tech memo in November so that we can have a month to go back and address any issues that y'all find.
Okay.
Yeah, I think unless there's a known problem, we're going to probably keep the meetings, because like you said, we have to hit a milestone and push some stuff on November. And then we'll just, you know, if we have an ability to wiggle December, it's just usually hard to get a quorum.
That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan.